Scripture reading this evening comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that you have in you with meekness and fear.
Good to see everyone this evening. All week long, last week, after I found out that I was going to be speaking tonight, I tried to think of some topic that I could speak about that would be interesting. And so I finally settled on a topic, and I started developing my ideas, and it was late in the week, and I was sitting out in the yard under the pavilion out there, and started writing a sermon on time. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, it's kind of what I've got down here so far kind of looks familiar. So I got up and went in the house and went in there to the drawer where I keep the lessons that I've spoken on. I reached in there and pulled them out, and the first one I pulled out was time. And it was kind of funny because I must have studied real hard because I started this one out exactly like I did that one. So I threw that off to the side, and at that point I'm kind of in a panic, and I'm sitting in the house now, and Pam come by and she said, well, why don't you talk about who do you think you are, which I thought was a pretty good idea, but I really didn't have enough time to develop that. But just so you know who that I think that I am a sinner in need of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from my sins, just like we all are. The notebook that I was using to write my lesson on, there was a loose paper in the front of it, and I thought, what in the world? This thing keeps falling out. And I pulled it out finally, and I looked at it, and it was my lesson. The High Performance Salesman was the name of the outline that I had there, that from some seminar that I'd attended some years ago. And I thought, you know what, that's it. The high-performance Christian. What does it take to be a high-performance Christian, just as much as it is a high-performance salesman? So if you'll bear with me just a little bit tonight, I'm going to talk to you about what it takes to be a high-performance Christian. The first thing that we have to do in order to be a high-performance Christian is that we have to plan and we have to prepare. In John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to the Lord, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God has a plan for us, and we also should have a plan. That plan should be that we get to the place where Jesus is, that he has prepared for us. Just having a plan is not good enough. You can make all the plans that you want to make. They can look good on paper. But until you apply those plans into some form of action, you'll never be successful. The second thing we have to do, we have to keep our eye on the goal. And we have to strive for that crown at the end of life. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. We must work toward our goal. We must have our plan, plan our work, and work our plan. Do the work. The third thing that we have to do, we have to have strong communication skills. Now, I'm not really a public speaker per se, but we have got to know our subject. We've got to be able to communicate that message. And the communication process doesn't just involve talking. It also involves listening. We've got to be good listeners as well as being able to get across the message that we're trying to get across. The next thing, we have to be responsive. If we're going to be responsive, we have to be ready. And just as it said in the verses, in the verse that Steve read to us just a minute ago, if someone asks you a question, you must be ready and willing to respond. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." And that's important. We must be responsive to the needs of others also. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." One of the things that it was mentioned in that verse, that we have to do these things with meekness and fear, and that's a very important thing. We don't need to be boastful and arrogant when we are responding to individuals that ask us questions about the gospel of Christ. The fifth thing is that we must be resourceful. Now, to tell you the truth, none of us have all the answers, do we? But what we need to know is where to go to get those answers, and what we can do to find the answers. We need to know where to get the answers, and we're not always going to have them, but every question, but we should have the resources that we can go to find those answers. The next thing is, if you got all these others and you're not trustworthy, it's really not worth a lot, is it? So we must be trustworthy. We must be somebody that people can trust, someone that can be depended on. If we're going to be effective for the cause of Christ, we must be trustworthy. If we are not, then we have lost hope and cannot be effective in bringing souls to Christ. James 4, chapter 4, verse 12 says, "But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment." We need to be known as people who say what we mean and mean what we say. We need to let our yes be yes and our no's be no. The next thing is that if you're selling a product to somebody, you need to know the product that you're selling. You need to know as much about that as you can. You need to have a strong knowledge of the product that you're trying to sell. If I'm going to sell you something and I don't know anything about it, how am I going to convince you that that's what you need? And most of the time when you're selling something, you already, if you've really done your job, you know that there's a need for the product that you're selling. And we all know that we all need to come to the understanding of the truth of Christ. So we must know our product. And that, when we know our product, that's going to involve us doing our part and studying God's word to know so we can understand and convey it to others. The next thing is we must understand and care. In 2 Peter verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We should feel the same way when it comes to the lost. We should care about their souls and love our neighbors as ourselves. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." You know, having a sincere care for individuals, especially people that are not of the body of Christ, we should have a sincere care for those people. Jesus was a physician. He didn't come to save those who were well. He came to save those who were sick. And he had compassion on those people. And we, as Christians, should have compassion and love for our fellow man so that we can bring them into the understanding of the gospel and lead them to Christ. But along with that, the next point is that we must be confident but not arrogant. In Ephesians 6 chapter, verses 10 through 20, and when Tim got to reading this morning, I thought, boy, here goes my sermon. But it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle with against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We need to be able to speak boldly, but not arrogantly. We need to stand for the truth and speak in a manner that shows that confidence without the arrogance. The next point is, we must rebound from our failures and learn from our mistakes. Most everybody wants to be successful, don't we? But how many times have you tried something that didn't work and you failed? Did you just quit? Did you give up? We can't quit. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We've got to continue. We cannot let our failures keep us down. We have to keep on trying until we get it right. We must recognize that we are going to make mistakes. In Romans 3:23 it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." We must ask God to forgive us and then move on. When we ask God for forgiveness with a repentant heart, he forgives us, and not only does he forgive us, he forgets those sins. Now, I'm not saying that we need to learn from our mistakes. We don't necessarily need to forget those sins, but we don't need to let them hold us back. You can't move forward when you're looking back. So we've got to Move forward and continue on and keep trying till we get it right. The next thing is we've got to stick to our principles and our values. We cannot and must not waver from the truth. God has given us His Word. This is what we have to guide us to that eternal home in heaven. We must, to the best of our ability, follow this book as closely as we can to what it says. Do not and cannot waver from the truth. And then the final thing is, we must practice gratitude and be thankful. You know, God has blessed us in so many ways, hasn't He? You know, sometimes we have troubles, we do. But when you look at the overall picture, everyone in this building has been blessed. I've been blessed, you've been blessed. We need to thank God continually for all the things that He blesses us with. Now, I haven't really talked about the plan of salvation tonight, but I have given you some thoughts, I hope, that will help you be a high-performing Christian. And maybe give you some pointers on what you can do to help lead someone to the gospel of Christ. If you're here this evening and something's been said that maybe made you think that you need to make some changes in your life, if you've heard and you believe and you've repented, confess your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins, you have that opportunity tonight. But if you have been baptized and you are a member of the body and you've fallen away and you feel that you need the prayers of the congregation, we're here for that also. Whatever your need might be, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.